Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns legend. I don't know if you heard of the guy. Also on the NFL Network. Find him on Twitter at JoeThomas73. Hello, Joe.
Hello, gentlemen. Great to be on the show this morning.
It's wonderful to have you. You saw the Big Ten vote yesterday. You are a Wisconsin alum. What were your first thoughts? Now, this is according to reports they didn't have a vote, whatever. But what were your first thoughts when you heard about this alleged 12-2 vote?
About the vote that didn't happen, although it did go 12-2. You know, I'll give this caveat right off the bat. I have a hard time separating my bias as a huge college football fan, as a former Wisconsin Badger, and so I admit there's probably a little bit of bias in my comments, but I was disappointed. You know, I think like everybody else, I would love to see a college football season. I would really love for the presidents of the Big Ten and the athletic directors to do everything they possibly can to make a season work. I think that similar to the NFL, I think you give your best effort, you try to make it work, and if you can't, it's understandable. Everybody will give you a pass on that, but definitely disappointing to vote the way that it did and to probably what it looks like right now, not have a college football season.
Well, we heard your coach, your old coach, Barry Alvarez, lament the fact that they could lose so much money if they're not able to pull this off. How important should the money be? What kind of a factor should it be in this decision-making?
Well, it has to be weighed just like the health and safety risk. I think people that want to come down hard on one side or the other, either the economic or the health side, don't understand that both of them are actually intertwined, because the fewer resources that the school has, the fewer health and safety measures they're going to be able to provide for their students. But also, if these students aren't there in the school getting the full resources of a Big Ten university with a scholarship and everything that's behind it, a lot of them come from tough situations, and economically, those are things that are impactful. When you're not able to have the resources as a school, you can't have top level health care for your student athletes, and it's a tumble down effect. And so, to act like the economic side of it is only just numbers on a sheet, I think that's short sighted, because those numbers are people's jobs, their livelihoods, their ability to provide for their family. Those numbers in the economy of the entire area that the college football season goes on. Like, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, so losing the 6, 7, 8 home games that the Badgers have in Madison is going to be dire for the entire city because of the economic impact that football has on a Saturday. And so the trickle-down effect with people losing their jobs and losing their health care and their ability to provide for their family, their put food on the table, like, those things affect your health and your safety and the health and safety of the athletes also. So it's not a dichotomous decision of do we want the money or do we want the health, because if you take the football away and you lose all the economic benefits, which is kind of what people have focused on, as a player, now you're in a deep and tough situation also, because like I mentioned, you don't have that safety net that the school can provide. And it's not like these schools are closing and these athletes are going to go into a bubble. Like, they're still going to go to school. If I was a 20-year-old kid and I didn't have the structure of the Wisconsin football program at the time, I'm not going to say I wasn't a knucklehead, because I was a knucklehead. I would probably still be going out to the bars. I'd be going over to my girlfriend's house. I'd be hanging out with my buddies. And so just not playing football, not playing fall sports, does not remove coronavirus and the COVID situation from these athletes' lives.
Joe Thomas joining us on the hotline. I'm going to ask a question just because I see all the criticism that the NCAA has been getting from everywhere over the last few days because of lack of leadership. When you were at Wisconsin, did you feel like your institution cared or the NCAA cared about your well-being?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they did. I don't know how you can say they didn't because you were an asset for them. I mean, as a football player, you bring in a lot of money, so they have to care about you. Now, whether you can say that's a pure-hearted approach where they just care about you as a person and they don't care about what you can produce for the university, I don't know if that matters. The bottom line, the result was they took really good care of their athletes. And so, yeah, I would say they definitely cared for their athletes.
You think it's possible that, like Scott Frost said, he would absolutely play in another conference if he could, if there was no Big Ten football this year? You think that's even possible?
God, I don't know. I mean, I would think that they would try to make it work. I mean, look how big football is to the university, to the whole state of Nebraska, to the student athletes, to the entire athletic program. I mean, it supports all the fall sports. There's plenty of sports that can easily happen with plenty of social distancing and very, very minimal COVID spreading risk. But without football as the linchpin for that athletic department, you can't have any of those other sports because it funds all those other sports. And so can they go and play? I'm sure they're going to explore it. Would the SEC love to be able to go fill up 25, 28 spots this fall and play just a big round robin tournament and a championship? I'm sure they would love it. Because who knows if it ever goes back to the old Power Five that we were used to at that point, because then, you know, basically we've deconstructed the NCAA and built a different institution.
Lottman, I thought, Joe Thomas with us on the show, follow him on Twitter at Joe, that maybe Sears made some calls today. There were also a lot of players who were voicing their opinions. You know, you were a player, and it wasn't very long ago in college. How much should their opinion matter? Because a lot of people go, well, they're just college kids. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. For some of these guys, it's only a one-year difference between being a college kid and earning a large paycheck. I don't understand where that makes a bit of difference, where they're all over 18 years old when you really break it down.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, some 23, 24 and older. Like, at what point do we treat them like adults that are working a job and allow them to make a decision for themselves? Because, yeah, forever and ever, the NCAA has flown under this phony guise that these are student athletes and they're not workers. But we all know that the NCAA does that for their own economic benefit. But I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to actually start treating these athletes and these football players specifically exactly like they are. They're grown men working a job. Now they get a scholarship. They get some other stipends. So maybe they're not getting full value for the work that they're doing for the university, but they're working a job. They should be entitled to workers' comp, and they should be entitled to decide, just like other workers in our economy, if they want to go to work or not. Like, to just dismiss their opinions because, oh, they're just student athletes, it's just perpetuating the same ridiculous folly that we've had forever, that these are just student athletes and they're not actually working for the university.
Say Joe Thomas is 26, 27 years old. He's a five-year vet in the NFL. Go back. If this happens when you were 5 years in, would you think about the opt-out? Would you even opt out?
You have to think about it. You have to try to evaluate the risk. You have to weigh the risks and the rewards. I think if I was putting myself in their shoes, I would try to find the best independent doctor that I could find to give me the best information available. I haven't done that because I don't have to make that decision, but I would assume that I would feel comfortable playing based on all the information that I know. Now, the biggest issue right now with this virus, from what I see, especially looking at the college game, is that we don't know how to evaluate this risk, right? Everybody in society goes through and manages risks on a daily basis. We get in our car, we drive down the highway, there's a chance we get in a wreck. There's a chance that worse things can happen. You walk down the street, there's a chance that something can happen. You have a chance to get any number of diseases on any daily basis. But because those things have been in our life for so long, we can properly assess and evaluate those risks and decide, this is a risk I'm willing to take, this is a risk I'm not willing to take. Look, I've got a lot of friends that are iron workers. They climb up on these buildings every single day, and they risk their life doing their job. Now, they have been able to, over time, evaluate that risk and decide that the money is worth it for them. But the fact that this virus has been around for so little amount of time, and we have so many conflicting stories and reports from scientists, the best in the business, by the way, whatever side you're on with this thing, you can find the smartest, brightest people in the entire world that have done a study that will back up whatever your opinion is. So we really just don't know enough about this, and it's too new for us to be able to evaluate and properly assess where that risk stands in our lives. And so a lot of times it falls back on our own risk profile. How risky am I as a normal person? And so I would say a lot of football players, the reason we haven't seen a lot of opt-outs at the pro or the college level is because to be able to be willing to go and put a football helmet on and go play the sport of football is an inherently extremely dangerous thing. I don't know where you rate that on the overall risk scale in life. Let's not pretend that these guys strapping a football helmet on last year when COVID didn't exist, that was a real safe thing for them to do. I'm 35 or 36. I can't remember, but I'm mid-30s, and I got plenty of friends, just about everyone that I played with in college who didn't even play in the NFL, and they've got long-term health implications from playing in the NFL. Look, my best friend was the long snapper on the Badgers. He's got a bad back and a bad elbow. He's got to live with that forever. That wasn't because of COVID. That was because he played football. It's a dangerous sport, but it's been around forever, so we know how to properly evaluate that. This thing is so new, we can't do that in our heads. And so you're going to see people all over the scale, from people who are willing to accept total risk, like Anthony, and go to the COVID makeout parties, and then guys like me and Ken, who won't leave the bubble of our own living room and our own couch because we're excited to eat pizza and watch the Indians play on TV.
Joe, you know, but that there's going to be, real quick, there's going to be some irony brought up by somebody on an email ago. He was talking about the long-term risk. He doesn't remember how old he is, and he's in his mid-30s.
Well, that's exactly my point. And I'm still saying that I'm happy to play football. I'm happy to accept those risks because I know what they are, right? And I think, if not to change on a tangent, but if you look back, the concussion lawsuit that the NFL had, the reason it was won by the players is because they proved that the NFL tried to cover up the risks of CTE and concussions and how bad it was. But now that it's known, the NFL players, we don't have a leg to stand on if we tried to bring a further lawsuit about concussions and CTE and the brain damage that football causes, because we know about those risks and we can properly profile and evaluate them and accept them if we're willing to strap it up and go on that football field.
I think you just hit on the point that maybe the Big Ten schools, us, players could come back. Hey, you told us to go out and play. You that it was going to be safe.
Yes. So I think the major driving force is potential litigation. And I think you hit it exactly, because when there's uncertainty, when you're talking about risky decisions, it's human nature to err more on the side of caution. So it's a exponentially increasing curve when you look at it. More uncertainty, even more uncertainty for risk, even greater caution will come from it. And that's exactly what you're seeing from the president. There's a great deal of uncertainty, so they're going to err even more on the side of caution. Like, let me take you to the Grand Canyon. I'm going to put a blindfold on you so you don't know where that ledge is. You're going to stay way, way away. You're not even going to come close. As soon as I start taking that blindfold off, now you can start seeing where that ledge is. You can get a little closer and enjoy the view a little bit. And so I think it's the same thing with this. We don't know what the long-term ramifications are. We've heard all things from, like, this might live in your lungs and cause you lifetime consequences from a mental standpoint, from a breathing standpoint. And then you hear people saying, well, you know, there's going to be outliers with anything, but for the most part, most people, especially young and healthy people, have no effect. And so it's really hard for us to understand where this lies, because when you look at sound science, it happens over many decades. You talk about, let's understand the disease. That's something that's been studied for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, so we can look at the long-term ramifications. This thing hasn't even been around a year, so we just have no idea. We can try to use the best science, but we really have no clue. And without protection for these schools from long-term litigation, whatever that looks like, whether that comes at the state or federal level from a legal standpoint, from the House of Representatives, the Senate, if they pass some type of coronavirus tort reform where you're not allowed to sue long term, I think something like that will have to be done, because otherwise it opens up the lawyers to potentially enormous billions upon billions of dollar lawsuits against these universities down the line. And can you imagine a school that's missed a lot of revenue already, and then a couple years later, you have to settle a multi-billion dollar lawsuit? I mean, it would completely eliminate sports at certain colleges, or maybe all the colleges, forever. And then that would really change the NCAA model. Mm-hmm.
Quickly, Joe, would you let your kids play high school football? They're saying a decision could come down on that in the state of Ohio today.
You know, I'm a big believer in personal choice and personal decisions, and I would leave that decision up to my kids. And if I had a son that was playing high school football, I wouldn't pressure him one way or the other. I would wrap my arms around him and hug him and love him the same way, no matter what he decided. But I would want to leave that up to him, because can you imagine this situation, that if me as a father was going to say, hey, son, it's way too risky for you to do this, and he misses, let's say, his senior year or his last 3 years, or maybe he just can't ever play football again. Because let's remember, guys, there's no guarantee that coronavirus, as soon as the calendar turns 2021, just evaporates and it's gone. Actually, even the most risk intolerant people are saying that this thing is probably going to be around a while. Even if we do optimistically find a vaccine in January of 2021, it's going to take a long time to get rid of this virus. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of some of these other viruses that have been around in our country. They're still here. AIDS is still here. All these other viruses are still here. They're not going away. And so, can you imagine, back to your original question, if I told my son, you can't play because of coronavirus, and then next year it's still here, oh, you still can't play. And then we find out 2 or 3 years down the line that maybe the people that were saying it's not as big of a deal were right, and it didn't affect high school kids. You know, how would he look at me? How would he think about, hey, Dad, you told me I can't play football anymore because of coronavirus, and you were wrong about that. So I think empowering individuals to make this decision, even when maybe they're not of legal considered to be adult age, I think that's probably the right decision from a parent standpoint.
Do you like Ohio State? Because I get ripped on for not liking Ohio State as much as Anthony. I know we got to go, kid. I'm sorry. I have to ask.
Do I like Ohio State? No. I hate Ohio State. I went to Wisconsin, Ken. Now, I will say, I played against them twice during the Jim Tressel era, and I love Jim Tressel. I love what he did with the program. I loved how he developed young men, and I thought he was fantastic. But I love beating them, too.
I know. I just get a bunch of. That's right. You were.
Yeah.
I just get a bunch of psychos tweeting at me because I don't even hate Ohio State. They go, you gotta love it. I go, no, I don't. I don't gotta love anything. So I just wanted to loop you in with me. That's all.
Appreciate it. No, don't worry, guys. I am a daily listener, enormous fan. I know all about it, Kenny.
Thank you very much, my friend. We thank you very much for the time. Take care.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The great Joe Thomas on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Champions Pose. Champions Pose, baby. The great Joe Thomas. All right, would you rathers? We update him coming up next. Joe was fantastic. Talk a little bit about that. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.